Hello and welcome to the EFL Podblog with Chris and Sue. Hi Chris.
Hi Sue.
So you've just come back from India.
Yeah.
And you're looking very well. And we've all got lots of images of India in our mind. But anything really surprised you when you were there?
Oh, many things. Many things. It's a country which is, I mean, it's massive, a subcontinent. But I only saw a small part. Generally, it was around Rajasthan and Delhi. But I was also in the south in a place called Bangalore, which is in Karnataka state. But I think there are a few things which are, if we compare it to the West, are really surprising. One is the way they drive. There seems to be no rules whatsoever.
Are you comparing this to French driving?
No, French driving is nothing like it. For example, you can be going along a three-lane sort of highway and all of a sudden the traffic will stop because there are cows lying on the road. Mm. And people will just beep to get them to move, but the cows are not frightened because people are generally pretty kind to animals. Or you can just be going along a road like this and all of a sudden you'll have a huge tractor or a huge lorry coming towards you. Because what they don't have is roundabouts. So they can't go down the road to a roundabout, then come back down the other side. What they do is they just turn across the central reservation and come back down. And you can see, you can be in the outside lane of the motorway. It's not actually a motorway, but it's like a motorway.
Like a highway, three lanes.
Yeah. And a lorry or a tractor or even somebody on a bike or maybe four people on a scooter or a tuk-tuk will be coming towards you.
Golly, and are there lots of accidents? Did you see any?
Didn't see any, but I mean, I think it's more for the grace of God, etc., because it's really, really crazy. We couldn't drive
that. I was going to ask you, did you drive?
No, I wouldn't drive that. No way. You just, it's just total anarchy on the road. There's no rules. Like, for example, we had a driver, and when we were going into Delhi, he stopped at a red light, and he another car pulled up and actually told him off for being a dangerous driver for stopping at a red light.
Oh, wow.
And the guy said, well, you're not from Delhi. We can see you're dangerous. You stopped at a red light. And the driver said, yeah, but it's a red light and, you know, there's maybe a radar on the light, etc. And the guy just kept on and saying that he was dangerous. And then he went straight across the red light in front of traffic coming on.
Golly. And are there speed limits on the road?
There are, but they don't seem to be. I mean, I didn't see a radar at all. And nobody seems to bother too much about the speed limits. You get people going at, between 20 kilometres an hour and 160.
Yeah, but most, all on the same road.
Yeah, but most of the lorries are really old and quite slow. There's a lot of tractors on the road. There's donkeys, there's camels, there's everything you see on the road. And most of the cars are very small cars, so they don't go that fast, you know.
Okay.
And a lot of the cars, in fact, you see cars which are not even in France.
Yeah.
You even see there's a, I think it's called a Renault Kwid or something like this. We don't see it in...
It's adapted
for the Indian temperament, probably.
Ah, okay.
But the roads as well. Another thing you see on the road is that you'll be going along a three-lane highway and all of a sudden the road will stop. And we were going towards Delhi from Jaipur and we were going along and it was, oh, we're making really, really good time. And then all of a sudden the road just stopped. And we had to go through a field for about 2 kilometres and get back on the road into a rice field, you know.
Oh, wow.
And the one thing you see is that people are very, very kind in India. They're very, very, they seem to be happy most of the time. You see people smiling no matter how poor they are. There's a lot of poverty, which really strikes you quite a lot. But people seem to be happy and they're very welcoming and they're very kind. What I find surprising, I was with my wife, is that nobody would ever address her. They would speak to me.
Oh, really?
If they're asking about what you want to eat, if your food was good, is your room good, etc. Nobody would address my wife.
When you say nobody, was that only men speaking to you, or what about women?
Even women.
Women wouldn't speak to your wife?
No, straight to me, yeah. I was the person they would speak to, which is strange.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, anything else that really surprised you?
Well, apart from the poverty, there's a lot of pollution. I mean, I think one of the worst things for India is plastic.
Oh, yeah?
It's everywhere, and you wouldn't believe. I mean, if you've never been there, you wouldn't believe the amount of plastic waste that's on the floor.
Is that plastic bottles? Bottles, wrappings?
Containers, everything. It's all over the place. I mean, I remember going through one village and I was really shocked. It looked like, it was the road through the village and it looked like you were going through a landfill site. It was everywhere. And people just throw things everywhere. I mean, went to the Taj Mahal, which is generally pristine, but people still find the ability to throw away plastic bottles on the pristine lawn for the Taj Mahal.
So they haven't got any selective trash cans?
No, very rarely you see any rubbish bins. Very, very rarely. The one thing I did notice, though, is that, I mean, I'm quite used to Indian students coming to Toulouse Business School, and virtually all the Indian students that come smoke, but you never see anybody smoking outside.
Oh, right.
And in fact, because it's against the law.
Do they smoke inside?
I guess they must do at some point. I mean, you see one or two people smoking, but much, much less than in France. And if you smoke on the street, you get a 500 rupee fine, apparently. But, I mean, there's lots of things like that. Another thing that I noticed is that people, because it's a majority Hindu, Hindu, basically, is that they're very kind to animals. Nobody would ever, you know, even if the cows, for example, I was talking about the bulls and the cows, they're in the street, they're everywhere. You see wild pigs as well. In the cities, you see dogs, you don't see cats, you see donkeys, you see camels, you see all sorts of things. Camels are normally with people, donkeys are, cows are not, they're just everywhere. Mm-hmm. But nobody would even dream of sort of pushing past a cow that's blocking the street.
No.
They'll beep the horn and it will move on. The cows are never frightened by this. They're used to this. Going back to the plastics and things is also the very, very high levels of pollution.
Yeah.
You know, in Delhi, if you look at any time you look at the weather map, it always says bad air quality. It's terrible.
Did people have a mask? Did they wear a mask protection?
Sometimes the police do if they're directing traffic.
Mm.
You'll see some people, they'll wear like a scarf over their mouth if they're driving a motorbike, but generally no. But I mean, I flew from Bangalore up to Delhi, and Bangalore is relatively clean and it's quite green, and the temperature's really nice, so it didn't get more than 36 degrees. And which is really quite nice, you know, it's pleasant, etc. It's on a bit of a mountain, or anyway, it's about 800 meters above sea level, something like this. So it's very pleasant climate there in Bangalore. But then when you get to Delhi, I could even smell the pollution before we'd landed.
Oh, wow.
Through the air system of the plane, you could smell it. And when you go out, it's just like a thick fog. You know, sometimes you don't even see the sun. All you see is like
a smog.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Ah, it's
and
horrible.
This is from traffic pollution.
Yeah, generally, yeah. Generally, traffic pollution. And also, it's very hot. I mean, we had 46 degrees in Delhi.
Yeah, wow.
So when you've got pollution at 46 degrees, it's not great.
That's the recipe for a lot of smog.
So you don't see clouds in the sky in Delhi. All you see is like a smog or whatever.
Wow.
Just like a fog.
Wow.
I saw another thing. It sounds a really stupid thing, but a guy was there's a lot of water pumps in the street where people fill up, you know, with water, or it's the way they get water for their houses. I remember a guy, it was really, really hot. It was in, I think it was in Jaipur, and this guy went and sort of washed himself under a water pump, and as the water pump was still trickling, a dog went up, which was dying of thirst by the looks of it, and went to drink from this pump, and somebody then came out from one of the shops and pumped the water so the dog could have a drink. So the dogs are not owned by anybody. They just seem to be sort of feral dogs on the street, half wild or whatever. They're not always in great condition, but nobody's cruel to them.
No.
I never saw anybody sort of throwing stones. In fact, I only saw one person, and it was a guy who was throwing stones at monkeys on top of his house. That was in Agra.
Because I know that monkeys can be quite aggressive.
Ah, very, yeah.
Pinchy things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can...
Yeah, well, yeah. We were in Bundi, and we didn't actually go because a guy was attacked the day before by red macaques, and they're quite big things, you know, they're pretty big monkeys, and when they get into a band of them, anyway, there was two reasons, because we didn't go up to this fort. It's an abandoned fort, but you have a superb view. there were three reasons then, we'll say. One, it was really hot. It was like 44 degrees. This was at 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, so, wow. You know, there's no way you're going to go up. And it's a big climber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second reason was somebody got bitten by a cobra the day before.
Oh, dear.
And also a guy got attacked by these monkeys. So we
decided
not to go.
Decided not to go there.
Yeah, three good reasons not to go. The other thing, which is quite surprising, is the food is fabulous. I loved it. But it's majority vegetarian.
Okay.
You'll find in some restaurant, not all of them, you'll find chicken. And you'll find what they call lamb or mutton, but it's actually goat. Mm. But it's quite rare to find it. Mm. And you have to look for the restaurants. However, you don't miss it.
No.
The vegetarian food is really, really nice. You know, it's not like in France where if you have a vegetarian food, all they do is take the steak away and you have the vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is really, really good and nice spice mixtures, etc. Yeah.
But I know for the food, I mean, we are both very keen on eating curries in France or in the UK.
Yeah.
Were the curries there different to the kind of European, Indian curries?
Yeah, I mean, they're different only in like the complexity of spices they use. Very rarely do you have really hot stuff. But that was where I went.
Mm.
In South India, where I was at the beginning, it was much, much hotter. And they eat more coconut and stuff like this. And they do things which I've never seen before. They make a pineapple raita, which is like pineapple in yogurt to accompany the... Because it's so abundant there, you know?
Yeah.
And but when you go to the Punjab, which is in the northwest, this is much, much hotter.
Okay.
Yeah, in some places. But everybody said to me, oh, when you go to Rajasthan, it will be much hotter. But I didn't find it hot at all. It's more complexity.
Yeah.
You know, you can actually taste, sometimes you can taste like cinnamon, sometimes fenugreek, sometimes whatever. But I mean, the food was very, very good. Mm. And the vegetarian food is fabulous. You don't really feel you need meat, in fact. Also, the other thing is, like the scale of things. I mean, it's a massive country, or subcontinent, as you want to call it. But when you see the palaces of the Mughal Maharanis and the Mughal emperors and stuff like this, they are massive. You know, we went to one, and it's not the biggest one, and it was like to walk around the castle walls, it was like 17 kilometres.
Wow.
It's absolutely huge. And even the Taj Mahal, which I always thought was quite smallish, it's absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And it's...
Do you know the height of the Taj Mahal?
I don't know.
Oh.
Google's your friend.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
But it's massive. I mean, I took some pictures and you can see the people.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the people, it's probably, I don't know if they're... I would say they're just under 2 metres... probably 20 times higher than
I can see the photo like too.
Yeah,
it's very, very, very impressive.
Taj Mahal is, it's a place where you go, and even if you're with somebody, you won't speak. Your breath is taken away. It's just so beautiful, and it's something which everybody knows the Taj Mahal, even though you've not been there. Mm-hmm. But when you're there, it's just magical.
Yeah.
And then...
It blows you away.
Oh, it does. It totally blows your mind. It's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. And what is there around the Taj Mahal? Is it in that, in a field or...
Is it a town? It's a garden.
It's a garden. Okay, yeah.
But it was built by the Shah Jahan, so it's a Muslim or whatever you'd call it, a Mughal garden. Because it's actually, do you know what it is, the Taj Mahal?
Yes, it's a tomb, isn't it? Really?
It is, it's a mausoleum for his favourite wife.
Yes, yes.
And there's also another one, which they call the Baby Taj, in Agra. And it's as intricate, it's not as big, but the gardens are fabulous. And the marble carving is absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
And in fact, when you put a torch to this marble, you can actually see through it. And when you look at the work, it's amazing.
Mm.
I mean, there is a legend, and my son argues about this, that all of the workers, the 20,000 workers that worked on this, he cut their right hand off, the Shah Jahan, because he didn't want them to make something so beautiful. He wanted this to be the most beautiful because it was...
Oh,
and
dear.
It was Mumtaz, his wife, and he didn't want it to be
recreated. And he didn't want them
recreated.
To work anymore.
However, if you look at sort of hard fact. It makes a nice story, I guess, if a bit grisly. But no skeleton has ever been found with a hand missing. So,
thank goodness.
If it was the case, I think they would have found at least one. And none have been found. So that's a bit of a legend. You've got these forts, you've got these fabulous palaces. In Udaipur, you have the city palace, which is on the which is absolutely brilliant. And they have the lake palace, which is in the middle of the lake. Mm. A lot of people know this because it is absolutely fabulous.
And also, I think that was that in a James Bond movie or something?
No, I think it was an Octopussy, in fact. Because they do talk about it in Udaipur.
Yeah.
Udaipur, for me, was probably the most, it was the cleanest place. And it is absolutely fabulous. In fact, in Udaipur, they stop all cars and lorries at the city gate, so they can't go through the old city, which normally they do. You can get lorries going down, little tiny alleyways and just about scraping through, and all the pollution. There you don't. And also, it seems a lot cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It really does seem much, much cleaner than the other place I went to in India. I went to one place and it had these fabulous step wells, which are like big, big deep wells, which were built to, basically to capture the monsoon rain. And from this, they were able to build the city from it. And they've got steps right down to the bottom. And it's not just one flight of steps, but it's like a geometric, it would be almost like, how can I explain it? It's almost like a diamond of steps, and then another diamond right the way to the bottom, and they're big. However, went to one place called Bundi, which is in South Rajasthan, and they have 65 step wells in this small place. It's quite a small place in terms of India, and the small city, if you like, and they have 65 of these step wells. There was one which was fabulous. It was built by a Maharani. And this one is, because all the monuments in India are kept by the Archaeological Survey of India, including Taj Mahal.
I was going to ask you actually who was in charge of
the Archaeological Survey of India. Mm-hmm. And these had, one of these wells was looked after by the Archaeological Survey of India. This was pristine, it's absolutely fabulous. But the other ones we saw, we didn't see all 65, but the other ones we saw were all full of rubbish. Just dumped rubbish in there, and it was just full of plastic, and just a rubbish dump.
Oh, what a shame.
It was, yeah. What else can I tell you about?
That sounds like a lot of surprises to me.
Well, the thing that really hits you is, like I say, the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Pollution is everywhere. And in fact, I remember talking to an Indian before I went, and I said, Delhi is quite polluted, isn't it? And he said everywhere's polluted in India, and I mean it's pretty right, even down I thought at first it's maybe a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you see kids just dropping stuff out of cars and on the road, and nobody bothers. It's a real shame. And when you look at the scale of the pollution in terms of plastic and whatever, it's massive, and it really, really spoils the country.
Mm.
And that is a bit of a shame. So you've got all of this stuff.
Yes.
But there's so much to see, and every day you see something which will surprise you.
Yeah.
You know, like you'll see like 16 people in a tuk-tuk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hanging off the top, whatever, lying on the roof, like spread eagle on the roof. It's absolutely amazing.
And what about the colours? I know that the saris always strike me as being really, really colourful. Did you get that?
Yeah, I think it's a thing with the different states as well. They seem to be colourful in South India, but in Rajasthan they were mega colourful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, lots of like saffrons and really deep reds and blues and stuff like this. And it seemed to be more colourful in Rajasthan. And apparently, the more you get, because a lot of Rajasthan is desert, and the more you get towards the real desert, the more colourful it becomes, for whatever reason.
Good, good.
There you go.
So are you planning to go back?
Yes, I'm definitely going to go back.
Good.
I totally loved it. I spent only just under 3 weeks there, but I didn't want to come back.
But you're here now, and I'm very pleased to see you.
Yeah, I'm pleased to be back, he lied. No, but I really, really enjoyed it. And there's just so much to see. I mean, we must have done about 3,000 kilometres or whatever. not counting the, you know, the flight from the south to the north. And, you know, so we've just seen a little bit. And I just want to go back and see more. You know, there's the Himalayas to see. There's all of the coast, the east, the west coast. There's a southern tip as well. There's Varanasi, you know, places like this. But I'm really, really pleased with the trip. I totally enjoyed it. I wasn't ill once. And, you know, you can survive it without the dreaded Delhi belly. If you're really careful, you know, you just don't drink the water. You don't eat fruit off of the roadside because they clean it with the water, which is not particularly good. I was one of the Indians told me, because I was working there for a couple of days, and he told me that they can drink the water because they have this immunity. We don't have that immunity. You know, we can drink from our taps. We often don't. We often buy bottled water. However, bottled water is available. You just have to be careful because there's lots of scams. And one of the scams is that people will take these bottles and refill them. So all you have to do is just check that the top, you know, is, the seal is not being stuck together again. I didn't see any of that.
No, be careful. Good. Well, thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eflpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.